Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. Education, advocacy, and encouragement for all adrenal disease. Welcome to the Adrenal Alternatives Foundation podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Adrenal Alternatives Foundation podcast. My name is Winslow E. Dixon, and today is the first episode of the How to Minimize Steroid Side Effects series with Dr. Megan. Hi, Dr. Megan.
Hello. I'm so glad you could have me on today.
Thank you for being our guest today. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. So I'm Dr. Megan. I am the prednisone pharmacist because not only am I a pharmacist, but I had to take prednisone, and it was experience that changed my life, making me want to help people on prednisone and other steroids.
Well, I am so sorry to hear that you have had to take steroids, but I'm appreciative that you have taken that bad thing and turned it into something good. So today we're going to be discussing the differences of steroids, because I know that a lot of times when we're diagnosed with a disease, Megan's disease is ITP, correct?
That's right. Yeah, it's a autoimmune disease where my immune system attacked my platelets, which are in the blood, and made it so I could bleed to death.
Wow. So bleeding to death sounds pretty intense. So you had to take steroids to keep yourself alive, right?
Exactly. I did not have any plans to be bleeding to death. So steroids were the best option to keep me from attacking my own platelets.
So you understand the fight for adrenal insufficient people, too, that we have to take steroids to stay alive. Steroids save lives sometimes, right?
Exactly. And it's unfortunate that they exact such a toll, but they do save lives. And it's worth it. I've seen some people prescribe steroids who it was just for a little cough or for a little rash, and nobody really had any idea what the real problem was, and they were given the steroids and it didn't save their life. It was just for a tiny thing, and it wasn't worth it for them because they eventually could get something like adrenal insufficiency, the secondary kind. And so for them, it doesn't save their life. It changes their life for the worse. But for most people who have adrenal insufficiency and other diseases, it's life-saving. It was for me, and it is for people with adrenal insufficiency.
Absolutely. So today, that being said, we are going to discuss the different types of steroids, because I know a lot of times, like you said, people are prescribed these things and they don't even know that there are different forms of steroids. And I know that your title is the prednisone pharmacist, and I know prednisone, we call them the devil's Tic Tacs as kind of a joke. But, I know that a lot of people are unaware of the differences between prednisone, dexamethasone, and hydrocortisone. And those are basically the pill form tablets that are prescribed for adrenal insufficiency. Can you kind of explain the differences between those three steroids?
Yes. So prednisone, I am the prednisone pharmacist. So that's the one I'm going to start with. Prednisone is the most commonly prescribed steroid in America. And it's really cheap. It only costs a few pennies for the prescription. And it is a medium long lasting drug. And it's number one reason it's prescribed is for that anti-inflammatory or countering the inflammation. That's why it's prescribed. And it also has other effects, but we're going to focus on the inflammation part. And as an anti-inflammatory, it is 4 times stronger than hydrocortisone. So hydrocortisone is a different drug. It's 4 times less strong, or potent is the real word. And so you'd have to take a milligram, like that's the measurement of how heavy something is, 4 times more of it of hydrocortisone than of prednisone. And so, for example, a normal daily dose for things like rheumatoid arthritis is 5 milligrams of prednisone a day. And so to get 4 times that, you'd have to take 20 milligrams of hydrocortisone. So that's showing that one little piece of it goes throughout your body, doing its job better as prednisone than as hydrocortisone, just in how well it turns on things per little piece of it. So it's not that it's a better drug than hydrocortisone. It's just you have to use less than of hydrocortisone. So that's the first thing. And then with dexamethasone, that's another drug. It's a really long lasting drug, and it is really, really potent compared to hydrocortisone and prednisone. So you only need 0.75, so that's less than 1 milligram, to equal 20 milligrams of hydrocortisone. So the pills are a lot smaller. They have a lot less active ingredient in them. So the biggest pill that they sell of dexamethasone is only 4 milligrams, whereas the biggest pill of prednisone is 20 or 30 milligrams, depending on where you are. And then one more thing is, if anybody is international, they don't really use prednisone in the United Kingdom. They use prednisolone, and I'm not really sure why. I haven't quite figured that out. But basically, they're the same thing. There's just a tiny little molecule difference. So prednisone and prednisolone are almost the same, and you can just treat them the same in your brain. So basically, I'll restate this all in one more way, is hydrocortisone is not very potent, and it has to be taken several times a day, but it is probably the most often used for adrenal insufficiency. Prednisone is the medium one, and it's the medium potency, and it's taken once a day. And then dexamethasone isn't really used usually long term for any condition. It's usually a short term thing, and they might use it to like be a big shock to your system to get you out of that inflammation or get your life saved, and then they transition you to something like prednisone or hydrocortisone. What questions do you have about that?
So basically, for our listeners, prednisone has the medium long-lasting effect, whereas dexamethasone has the longest and hydrocortisone has the shortest.
Yep.
And the reason that hydrocortisone is used most prominently in adrenal insufficiency is because when you're replicating a body system, your adrenals don't just put out cortisol once a day. It's a pulsating hormone. And so the concept is, you know, with, like you said, prednisone is mainly dosed once a day. Dexamethasone, like you said, you know, is dosed because it's so powerful, you know, once a week or something like that. With adrenal insufficiency, you have a constant need for cortisol. And so, whereas when it's used for anti-inflammatory things and anti-autoimmune things for lupus, MS, things like that, it can be dosed once a day or things like that. But when it's adrenal insufficiency, since you're replicating that body system, hydrocortisone is the most prominently used because it does have that, you know, short-term availability so that you don't get the over replacement and things like that that you might if you're on a higher dose of prednisone. And the important thing I want to, you know, put out to our listeners as well is that in adrenal insufficiency, the correct steroid is a main point that you need to be on, but also not only the right dose, but the right timing. When you are, like I said, replicating a body system in the natural circadian rhythm, you are going to have your most cortisol in the morning and your least in the evening, and you're going to have what's called a natural peak, usually from anywhere from 4 to 8 a.m., depending on your personal body system. I am on a cortisol pump, and so my highest peak where I start to get my elevation in cortisol begins at 4 a.m. And that will then initiate the sleep-wake cycle. So it's important to note that when you are discussing your steroid regimen with your endocrinologist to treat your adrenal insufficiency, that you're not only on the right dose, but also the right timing, because it's possible to be both over-replaced and under-replaced in the same day. And that's why, you know, the longer-lasting steroids such as dexamethasone are not as prominently
use. Now, that being said, with the condition of congenital adrenal hyperplasia, I know that that kind of is a dominant use in that. I'm not sure why, and I'll have to kind of expound on that, but I know that that is commonly used in that. So, Dr. Megan, did you have anything about the circadian rhythm and how we can try to more naturally replicate that with the hydrocortisone?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that because it affects when you take the pill. I know some people experience side effects from taking prednisone at bedtime, for example, or by not taking their hydrocortisone throughout the day. They could be given four pills a day and be taking all four in the morning when it's wearing off by 2 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whenever it is for their body. And so they need to be, with the hydrocortisone, spreading it out throughout the day so that they still have some oomph to last through the evening hours. And when you take a pill is one of the easiest things to change as far as side effects like insomnia or whether it's going to be kicking in at the right time for you.
And it's also important to note that I know a lot of people with adrenal insufficiency think, oh, if I just take my hydrocortisone, you know, early in the day, I'll be able to sleep. It's important to note that low cortisol and too high of cortisol can both cause insomnia. And so it's very important to work with your endocrinologist to get the right dose and the right time. I can't stress that enough, that that is really the, and as a joke, we call it the cortisol circus. But I mean, truly, it's a circus trying to figure out what your body would do naturally, because, you know, all of us are different and all of us have different personalities and different body systems. So some people are night people and some people are morning people. So you really need to communicate with your physician or whoever, you know, your healthcare provider is that's prescribing your steroids so that you can get these circadian rhythms replicated.
Thank you, Dr. Megan, for being our guest today. And we hope that you tune in to the rest of the series, How to Minimize Steroid Side Effects. We'll be discussing how to lose weight, how to maintain weight, how to sleep better, and have lifestyle modifications to improve your life on long-term steroid therapy. For more information, visit our website, adrenalalternatives.com, or our social media pages, facebook.com/hopeforadrenaldisease, Twitter is Adrenal Advocate, and Instagram is Adrenal Alternatives Foundation. Adrenal Alternatives is a 501c3 patient empowerment organization dedicated to encouragement, education, and advocacy for all adrenal disease.